account for that, and this is him.
Tim McCallum?
This is, I got it, I mean, I so a little bit about ourselves, so we are company for Second State, and why Second State, you can come and ask me about that, I know, classify is Fourth State, we are Second State, why? Come to talk to us after that. And so we are open source smart contract technology company, meaning that we try to stay above the consensus layer. So we don't want to do sharding and you know, mining and all that. We want to focus on the distribution layer, that's where our expertise comes from. We call it middleware. I know it's a data word, the middleware for smart contract or middleware for developing applications. So our focus has been developer tools. We have language compilers for different languages, for the front end and back ends, next generation virtual machines and execution engines, WebAssembly-based virtual machines. And off-chain data services, where Tim can talk to us about, and including the search engine, smart contracts, search engine, and Explore. And all those we combine into a single web-based product for the Buildo IDE and Explore. But, you know, it's not Buildo, that's Second State, but IO. What it does, it's a little bit like Remix, but it doesn't require MetaMask, it doesn't require wallet. And then you can write your smart contract, you can write your apps, you can write Web3 and everything in a single web interface, and deploy it on public blockchains, like Glacier and Classic. You can do that in a couple minutes. And you know, people ask, you know, how do you do that without wallet? Well, there's a way to do it. You know, that's you know, that's something we'll demo today, you know, with all those language extensions that we have built. And excuse me, that we build on the back end. So we are company in Ethereum Classic Labs cohort 2. So we are fortunate to be involved in this project. We partner with other big public blockchains, including CyberMouse and some other enterprise players. So just shameless talk, you know, that's the three of us was involved in this book about building blockchain applications. It's published by Amazon Web State later this year, by the end of this year. And if you go to secondstate.io/book, you can play a little game and do a little discovery on the Ethereum Classic blockchain for this kind of okay. So to start off our talk, you know, because we have a lot of content, I want to set the overall frame or the overall theme of this talk. The twin challenges for Solidity. We are a developer tools company. Why developers find smart contracts so difficult to grasp and derive? The first is, it's not only just Solidity, but all the other smart contract languages currently available on the market. Right? First is the language is generic. It has to be Turing complete. So that means it's difficult to optimize for domain-specific applications. We come from enterprise world, we know that DSL has always been one of the, you know, if you look at the platform maturity, if you look at the business as DSL, domain-specific language is very important for real-world enterprise use cases. And today, in Solidity, it's very generic. Everything has to be Turing complete, so there's no specific optimization for domains. And the second is, the design of Solidity and other smart contract languages today must support both consensus and non-consensus mode. So, you know, we ask ourselves, why is it so difficult to do string manipulation in Solidity? Why is it there no random number in Solidity? Why is that no JSON support in Solidity? It's because the Solidity code has to be able to create transactions on the blockchain. If any of those goes in there, it either creates non-deterministic behavior or it consumes too much gas. However, if you look at that from the application developer's point of view, you do need those features. Can we put those features in view functions or pure view functions? And for code that's not participating in consensus. So that separation is unclear in most of the smart contract languages today. So that's where we hope that our innovation should be able to help, is that to create language extensions to address those two problems. Because if you don't have consensus and non-consensus separation, you are driven towards the lowest common denominator. You have to have all the language features that can participate in consensus. That's not something we think would create a good language design. So those are the twin challenges of Solidity or other smart contract languages today. And those are the things that we want to address. Okay, so now I want to shift over to Haidai. And to talk about how do we address the first challenge. The first is Solidity is Turing complete and it's generic. There's no domain specific features in that language. How do we add domain specific features into Solidity?
Okay, let's talk about the Lity rules engine. And
I wrote some of the slides that I wrote about this. So first of all, why do we need a rules engine in smart contract? A lot of people ask this question. You know, what is smart contract? It's automated scripts that are triggered by end results in state change according to predefined rules, right? So smart contract, by their very definition, are rules. So it's a perfect match. You know, like I just said, rules must be transparent, rigid, and immutable. Blockchain is the perfect platform to execute rules. Today, enterprise rules are executed inside databases. And you could argue that's one of the things that blockchain can really change. When you try to make business decisions in an automated manner, you want those rules to be executed in a trusted platform. Right? So blockchain smart contract is a perfect match for rules. And the rules engine is essentially a decision tree. You know, rules could be essentially implemented as a decision tree using if and then statements. You can have a large list of if then to implement any rules. However, the complexity grows exponentially as the rules increase. You know, so you have multiple interacting rules in the trees that every single change on this side. But say you have two trees, you have two decision trees and they interact on some leaves, right? Everything that changes on this side have to result to a reevaluation of the entire tree on the other side. So just imagine you have multiple trees like that. So that's why that gives rise to what the enterprise software guys call the rules engine, the business rules engine, BRE. So the same set of rules might be evaluated again and again, and very difficult to validate or make changes. So if I have a rule that gives people money, their credit history or things like that, it's extremely difficult to validate just the set statements. And it's impossible for non-programmers. You know, that someone, a business person wants to change those rules, it's impossible. So this is what I just said, you know, so in the enterprise space, you know, that's I'm sure all of you guys will see those are hundreds of millions of dollars in size. Seems like those GSI, Logitech, Cairo, some of the public companies, they do not say, but rules.
Okay, let's go to the demo section. And first of all, I want to introduce how we do the rules engine into the Solidity SL plugin. As we know, if we want to add a plugin, there must be we add some new opcodes or some new instruction. But in our rules engine, we don't do that because we know half or that's too many half. We don't want to do that. So we just separate that. We add a new grammar code rule, and we just build a new parser for it and new code gen. Also, it is compatible with the origin Solidity one. So. If you go to our repository, you can find we define some rules engine as D, and when the parser go inside, you find, oh, there's a rule. A rule when, for example, when somebody is too old and they can get some money, for example. So when it goes touch to the rules, he will into our code session, and finally they will combine into one EVM bytecode. So you don't need to take care about how there will be two contracts or three contracts. No, it just need one contract. Yes. And the layout will look like that. The original Solidity contract will just in the original path, and our rules will be a new section, and we add a new rule engine Pandora. A new rule engine Pandora is just like your Chrome, they embed a V8 engine in it. We just add a rule engine handler into your smart contract. So when somebody executes the smart contract, our handler will try to find all the rules, and you must register some data, what kind of data you want to modify, because there are lots of variables. Not every variable need to be modified, so you want to address that. And our handler will take care of that and just filter out the something like rules and of the data. So we just go into our demo, and this is our website. You can go there and get more example. Yeah. Oh, so let me show our website. Please. Okay. Is too much?
It's fine. That's good.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay. And let me reset it. And our first example. This should be the trend. Okay, good. Okay, our first example is the edge pension. That we define a person who has a number of edge and a work edge, which means he had this work for a while, and a back edge for his money. And this is, we define another data structure called baggage. It means the total baggage. We want to share some money to those person. And we have we have one list called the person list, which will store all of the person and the total baggage here. And we add a new parameter called fact insert. Fact insert is just like notify our handler which variable should be monitored. In this example that, the baggage will be monitored by our handler. And we just say into 10,000. And we go through the rule power first. You just write the rules in your contract, and it like a rule, the rule man, it can be a blah blah string. More, it's just a name. And the when block will contain several conditions. As you can see, you can say, I want to filter that lots of person whose edge is greater or equal than 65, and work edge is greater and equal 5, and also our baggage must have the count greater than 10. Yeah. And if you find, if our handler find that any modifier object is in these conditions, then it will trigger out these actions. Like we will add the person at the $10 and just minus our total package $10. Yeah. And another one is how can we add a new person to here? We can see. We have a list here, and we create lots of person objects, and then fact insert to tell our handler to modify this object. And the last action is we will call the function called the file rules. It will just emit all of the rules and do these actions. So let me compile it. And edge pension before it goes there. Oops, okay. And first of all, we add a person like 34 and this 20, the first one. Okay, and we can just check the first one's data, 64, 21, okay. And we add the second one is 65 and 20 and 2. Third one, because this work edge is larger or equal to 5, so we want to add here to just 0. Okay, now we have 3 person and 3 different cases. Now we emit the pay function and just check all of the person, like the 0, but he didn't get any money because it's only 64 years. And the second one, yeah, you get $10. And the third one, no, it doesn't get any dollars. Yeah. And after all, we can just check the baggage. It just spend $10. Okay. That's our demo for the rules engine. If you are interested, you can find more examples on our website. They are something like text. Or anymore. Yeah. Build in here?
Yes, yes. Okay, so this retirement age is very interesting because I don't know if you guys relied on your times, but there was a research coming out to say that the earlier you retire, the longer you live. For people who retire like 50, they live to the 80s. If you retire at 65, you live until 67, something like that. So it's really important that the government has all these rules to say, you know, that's, you know, who gets what during retirement age. So I'd like to show up. Can I open here? Sorry. So you can see all this. This is actually a regular Solidity code. You know, those are just contracts. And by the way, this tool is builder.secondstate.io. You can say build.secondstate.io. It's fine. You know, that's fine. You don't have to enter any script. You know, so this is the developer tool that we do. So our compiler is integrated in here. You can do it on your phone right now. You know, that's you don't need MetaMask or anything like that. So this compiles regular Solidity code, but the rules engine stuff is added beneath it. How did it show up? You can see we added keywords like fact insert, and the rule stuff is just added to Solidity. So we embedded what we call domain specific language inside Solidity, and then we have a compiler that compiles it to EVM bytecode that can be deployed into any EVMs, into any EVM compatible blockchain. So that's just be demo. So Well, so I know you guys might have questions. Let's talk afterwards because we have quite a few things to go over in this session. Yes. So the next one I want to bring he's gonna talk about how we solve the second review report. The first problem is no domain specific extensions for the language. The second problem really is no separation between consensus and non-consensus. Can we find a way within the context within EVM1 or ETH1.x to separate out consensus application and non-consensus application?
So I'll just talk you through this smart contract search engine. So basically we could call this an auxiliary application, and what we mean by auxiliary application is an application that is really assisting the end user of a blockchain application, and it's essentially transforming full node data to make it available to the end user in a useful way. So this is not a second layer solution, and it does not play a role in a network consensus at all, and it doesn't play a role in updating the blockchain state, so you can consider it like a read-only. One auxiliary application example would be like the Bitcoin Core wallet. So as we know, you have the UTXOs in the system, the Bitcoin states represented by its global collection of unspent transaction outputs, but the Bitcoin blockchain doesn't actually hold the account balances. So a user's account balance in Bitcoin is an abstract notion that's fulfilled by an auxiliary application, i.e. the wallet, right? So there's a purpose for auxiliary applications. They are safe because they're really just a helper, right? So it's important to remember that an auxiliary application can't really make the blockchain do anything invalid. So an example is, Alice here, she's got two Bitcoin. If she thinks that she's got three for some reason and she tries to execute a transaction, that won't actually succeed. So it can't make the blockchain do anything that's not valid. So the smart contract search engine falls into this category of like non-consensus code. And the search engine allows pure view functions to be executed off-chain with arbitrary programming languages and tools. And an example of this we'll show you in a minute is it's reading the public data that exists. So for example, if there's a public variable, the compiler will create the getters and setters automatically. It can go in and grab that information automatically. So here's a bit of an overview of the smart contract search engine. Is this component here. It is 100% free and open source in that it's just using basic Apache 2 on a Linux operating system, all written in HTML, JavaScript, and a bit of Python using Flask. The indexing, at the moment we're using Elasticsearch, and that's also 100% open source product as well. So the blockchain here reads in the data here, and then there's multiple interfaces out to different services from there. So this is the smart contract search engine here, this is a DAP, this is a web browser search, and this is optional third party things like push notifications and so on. We'll get to this component in a little bit, I'll talk about this. Okay, so the smart contract search engine sits between the full node and the DAP, and it's organizing raw smart contract data and other blockchain data like event logs and so on. And it's providing essentially like a search and discovery service for the decentralized applications. Okay, so this demo, I'm just taking some screen captures. If you go to docs.secondstate.io, there's a menu down the left-hand side. You'll see this data-driven dApps here. This here, the first paragraph, it links off to some code in GitHub. And this is HTML, JavaScript, and Solidity smart contract code. And as Michael just showed us, this is the build tool that we have. And so you put the Solidity code in there, you hit compile and deploy this. So the argument for this constructor here is asking for an account name. So we put in DEFCON5_001, deploy that to the chain. And then what we see in the build tool, when we click the play button in the DAP tab, you actually deploy the front end of your DAP. So this is what the end user will see. And here we have this account, and I put a boolean of 123, and we update the balance. And what it does, the smart contract search engine goes and finds smart contracts on the blockchain that match. So what we do is we sort the ABI, and then we hash it, so we end up with a deterministic key per ABI. And so the smart contract search engine can go through the blockchain and find all the contracts that match to that key. And so what it's essentially doing here is finding accounts of contract type X with different names, and it's creating the sum total of their balance and then providing that. So a smart contract can't do that to another contract because they can't see each other's data, but the search engine can aggregate. So just move on to this part here, what we call ESSS. And again, please come talk to me afterwards because there's too much to say in 10 minutes. So this is the easiest way to access all this. If you don't install or do anything with any of this smart contract code or anything, if you just simply go to ESSS.js as an npm package, and you just install that, and then you have instant access to blockchain data. So we're running Ethereum mainnet, Ethereum Classic, CyberMiles mainnet, CyberMiles testnet, and then DevChain. So these are already set up. We have some specific pre-made functions here for your convenience. So for example, you just ESSS.searchUsingAddress, and that's the address, and it will return data. The next thing, a specific thing, search using keywords. So in this case, that variable name, the account, we put that in as the data, and returns valid JSON. So then your phone can pass this, right? So it's a really efficient way to call data, blockchain data, and get that back. So instead of your phone having to get 1,000 records and loop through them all and do decision making, what you can do is quite a complex query where you can filter out. So like, I want to see everything in the last hour from this address with an account name called DevCon, and then you'll just get back one record. So it's really efficient. And then your phone only has to process one small piece of JSON. Okay, so one of the reasons why this is great is because it's separating out, it's very flexible, but it's separating out the components. So if you have a front-end developer that's a really different skill set, you can just say to them, you know, JavaScript and HTML and CSS, this is what I want my DAP to do from the user's perspective. You don't need to know when they push the button that's gonna call smart contract functions and so on, just don't worry about that. Just code up the front-end, the HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. So it's enabling you to have teams work together. Similar to the rules engine allows like a business analyst to write rules in drills and hand that off. They don't need to actually be able to contract the right kind of smart contract code, but that same syntax will apply and just plug straight in and work. So it's a similar concept to that. You can create your own custom queries. You can extend on this to provide like custom push notifications, you know, triggering when amounts go over or under certain values, etc. And I'll pull it up there. If you're interested in building your own or using ours or deploying a DAP, creating a product, please get in touch and we'll help you. And back over there.
All right, so we have discussed, you know, the two challenges and how we address those two challenges. One is the DSL thing, so maybe the language compiler itself. And the second really is to add new stuff outside of the EVM so that the non-convincing data can flow out of it, you know, instead of having to close together and be the lowest common denominator. However, in the future, you know, we see ETH 2.0, we see a really great opportunity to future-proof all this, because now we could have a unified solution that use leverage things like LLVM and WebAssembly to build a new toolchain and new compilers and new virtual machine, so that all this would no longer be a problem. And I'll hand back to Haidai and to talk about the work that we do with LLVM and EWASM. And this is a collaboration project between Second State and the Eastern Classic Labs.
Okay, let's talk about the full benefit that when we integrate LLVM into our toolchain, why is the good part? And first of all, because LLVM developed long ago, it's just like your GCC compile. So you can support like C++, C or Rust or Java, all you can see, yes, they all will have a front end there. So you can support more programming languages if you are not interested with just the solidity, you want to use your other language, yes, you can use LLVM. And the other part is that with LLVM, if we want to define a new target, what is new target? Just something like that. We have the EVM1, we have the EWASM. Maybe if one day happens, maybe there will be the EWASM, or maybe it will be EVM3 or 4 or 5. So LLVM provides a mechanism that we can very easy to define a new target. And this is independent with your front end, so you don't need to have to translate your solidity directly to the new target. You can use the LLVM. It has an intermediate format called LLVM IR. So every language will be transformed into a uniform language, and then use this language into the different targets. So this is second part. And the third part is that we have lots of debuggers or linkers or blah something toolchain for the LLVM. So when we just integrate the LLVM into the blockchain toolchain, so the debuggers, or we don't need to just redo it, we can leverage the current LLDB or something like that. And the fourth part is we want to talk about more after then. That's with the LLVM framework, we can define a new gas optimization skill that can be just like because I have a uniform format here, and so we can just modify each optimization pass. What kind of optimization apply can reduce the gas consumption, something like that. Okay, so the first part is like this: more programming language, more EVMs, and all of the things will be translated, however it's solidity or Viper or Rust or C++ or any front end language, they will be passed and be constructed as the constructed, and finally we generate the LLVM IR. And in the phase, we call it optimizer because we can add lots of optimization here, something like we can reduce the deco, or we can just simplify lots of addition or multiplication, something like that. And finally, we have lots of bad support here, and not only the EVM1, EWASM, also we can generate this file into something like X86, your native environment, that's all possible. Yeah. Okay. And the second part is that I mentioned before, we've got a lot of debugger, linkers, optimizer, or something like that, and we can make the performance more higher. And this is our approach to detect the gas consumption and to reduce the gas consumption of the current Ethereum application. Actually, in this full chart, we only do one thing, that is we model the LVM IR with the native bytecode. So we can know every instruction in high level, the cost is like 100, 200 or something like that. And we can apply lots of different we're making the assembly so the EWASM or EVM and back into the LVIR. So we have a cost model here, and when we have a cost model here, we can apply the traditional energy consumption issue, the optimization of that into this model, and we can just apply those optimization values into here, and we get more gas optimizes by code here. Okay. So let's go into the demo part. I will show you how to use our compiler to compile your Solidity code into LVIR and finally deploy it into EWASM. I think for the EVM part is very quick. I think the Alan will very quickly to release the demo first for the EVM target, right? Yeah. Okay, so first of all, you need to connect the MetaMask to the EWASM testnet, just sound like this. And, I don't know why it's just a certificate, but we'll skip it. And we can build it from source, you can get going it, you can set the internet and macro, blah, 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 blah. But it takes lots of time. If you use this MacBook, it may take 1 hour to build it, so I think that's too long. We have done for image, so you can just pull it, you can just run it, and execution the command in our next slide, and to get a bytecode. So I think I can do the demo directly. Okay. So is large enough? Oops. Now I run the docker image of the SOLL demo, and first of all, you need to create a contract, and wait a minute, let me copy it here. I have another copy here. Okay, so just pass it. As you can see, this is a ES20 contract, and we have a total supply, we have balances, and we have an event called transfer, and here is a constructor. You can sell the total supply, you can sell the initialized balances, and also a function called balance off, you can query it. And finally, this is a transfer function. And if you want to add the self-mask protection, you can just include a library and use it, that's fine. But for the demo purpose, I just remove them. Yes. And when you use SOLL, you can get the help menu like this. And no worries, we just will need to compile it action plus emit LVM and code the contract SOLL. And when you press enter, you get lots of LVIR. But don't worry about that. You don't need to modify any line of that. You just pipeline this output into a contract LLL, and we have a helper in the SOLL, and you close and compile plus V, and the input is contract.ll. Okay. After all, you can see that we use lots of like LVM link, LVM optimizer, LVM compiler, and WASM LP to create the web assembly part. And you will get two WASM files. One is the one type file called contract WhatsApp. Another is the deploy file called the contract deployment. And the final part, you want to deploy that into the Ethereum WhatsApp test net. What should we do? Just back here, and you can find WhatsApp test net and something like here, and just submit your transaction, because I think that's the only way to deploy your contract there. And because you need to pass your old WhatsApp to here, so you need to decode this binary file into a string. We have provided the command here. Just copy that and enter. Okay, you got this lots of string. This is your contract, and because it's very very large, so I need to just scroll down my terminal and okay. Oops, a moment. To confirm it, just wait.
So this is the Ethereum testnet, the Ethereum foundation deployed, right?
Yeah. Just waiting. We have deployed another things before, so if you got the error, don't worry, you can retry it several times, because I have no idea when I just retry it several times. There will always be one or two well success. That's weird, but I don't know why. And after you deploy it, you can get your contract here, and this is your contract address, and you can find the West code. If you want to know what is the inside of the WhatsApp file, you can see this tab. And also, if you want to see how the storage variables, you can hit the storage tab and you can find this file. And we just back here, compile. And this provider, we can choose our MetaMask to connect to our WhatsApp testnet. And just change it to the token and put pass your address here and that. And here is your token. Now you can get the balance, something like this. Let me copy here, push and go. And you will get your balance here, and you can transfer your balance into the other address by get out of the accounts.
Find us, you can come to talk to us for a second stage, and we can highlight it.